In preparation for the reopening of church, which is most likely to be on the 31st of October, we've covered the biblical themes of the importance of gathering and our view of government. And today we'll look at what the Bible says about the relationship between love and freedom. We'll look at the manner in which Christians should disagree. And finally, and just very briefly, we'll look at favoritism and the protection of the vulnerable. So, firstly, the relationship between love and freedom. Freedom has never been more relevant. Our governments have had to take away certain freedoms. For the sake of our health and safety, freedoms have been restricted. Most have accepted these restrictions, prioritizing health and safety. Others have resisted, prioritizing freedom and the encroachment of government. So we have seen freedom rallies, not just across our capital cities, but right across the world. More recently and currently, we are seeing protests against mandatory vaccination and vaccination passports. We know that as Christians, we are free. Whether or not we are politically free, living in a liberal democracy or a communist regime or anything in between, Christians are free. We are free from slavery to sin. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So why has Christ set us free? For what purpose? Well, the Apostle Paul continues in 5:13. He says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." So we see here that Christ has set us free not to be self-serving, but to serve others humbly in love. We follow the example of Christ. For example, in Philippians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul also says there, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." So, in a pandemic, Christians ask the question, "How can I serve my neighbor humbly in love?" Certainly, we will care for our immediate family. We will care for our extended family. We will care for our church family. And we'll care for our neighborhood, our literal neighbors, the people that live next door to us and around us, our friends in the local community. But what about bigger questions, harder questions, like, how can I serve my neighbor humbly in love when it comes to government restrictions? One Christian might say, obey the restrictions because in obeying them, I am loving my neighbor. I'm playing my part in keeping the community safe. Another Christian, whilst understanding the importance of keeping the community safe and obeying health orders, because God's word commands us to submit to our authorities, may, in principle, disagree with such orders. They may have seen the damage that it has done to people financially, socially, in terms of their mental health. They might be a child, adolescent psychologist, deeply concerned about the impact of lockdowns on children. They might be concerned about government overreach. Their opposition is not necessarily selfish. It's very possible that they too can be motivated by love. And I think the same is true around the question of vaccines, vaccine mandates, and vaccine passports. One Christian will support them, motivated by love. Another Christian will oppose them, motivated by love, not necessarily selfish. Sadly, our community, our nation, our world is deeply divided on these issues. And the tendency is to treat the other side with derision and hatred and contempt. This is exactly what we want to avoid in the church. In Galatians 5, verse 15, Paul continues. He says, "If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." So, if we disagree, especially if we disagree around big issues, such as the ones just mentioned, how do we get on? Firstly, I would say, remember, we are united in the really big things. We are united in Christ. We have been united by the Spirit of God. We are adopted into one family, brothers and sisters in Christ. But of course, even in families, there are disagreements sometimes. Which leads me to my second point, the manner in which Christians should disagree. Romans chapter 14 is one of those chapters in the Bible that can be hard to preach, hard to teach. It's one of a couple of passages that deals with Christians who disagree with one another. In the first century, the issue that Paul was dealing with in the Church of Rome was meat sacrificed to idols. Some Christians thought that they were free to eat that meat. Some thought that they shouldn't eat it. The issue that I've found in preaching such passages is it often seems quite irrelevant. We don't have an issue with meat sacrifice to idols. We certainly aren't divided in the church over that issue. But we are, or potentially are, divided over vaccines. At least our nation and our world is, and we don't want to be in the church. So here's an exercise for us. I'm going to read Romans 14, just the first part of it. I'm going to read it twice. And I'm going to replace meat sacrifice to idols with vaccines. The reason why I'm going to read it twice is for the sake of fairness. The first time, the one who is weak in faith is the unvaccinated. The second time, it will be the vaccinated. So here we go. So this is Romans 14 with a change in the translation to highlight our current issue. Romans 14:1, "Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to be vaccinated, but another whose faith is weak chooses to be unvaccinated. The one who is vaccinated must not treat with contempt the one who is not, and the one who is not must not judge the one who is, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand for the Lord is able to make them stand. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own minds. Whoever gets vaccinated does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. I assume that just through hearing that read that way, you get the point. But let's go again, this time from the perspective of the other side, just to kind of put this, you know, ram this point home, if you like. Romans 14, again, from the other side. Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling or over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to be unvaccinated, but another whose faith is weak chooses to be vaccinated. The one who is unvaccinated must not treat with contempt the one who is. And the one who is must not judge the one who is not. For God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall. And they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever chooses to remain unvaccinated does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever gets vaccinated does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So you can hear from this passage that acceptance of one another is the key around these disputable matters. Not driving the wedge like the world would want us to do. Not treating with contempt, using loaded language like the anti-vaxxers or the sheep. God has accepted our brother or our sister. So who are we then to not accept them on the basis of their view regarding vaccination? Paul goes on in Romans 14 to say that no judging the person with the alternative view. God is our judge. He'll call us to account. And more positively, he also says, instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. So that makes us ask the question, how can we help our unvaccinated brothers or sisters? We'll ask the opposite question shortly, but how, firstly, can we help our unvaccinated brother or sister? Thankfully, we can welcome them at 80% without having to passport check them at the door, just as we were, by the way, up to 3 months ago. How can we help the vulnerable, the immunocompromised, those who can't be vaccinated for health reasons, those who are more anxious than we are about getting COVID? Well, as a church, we can take seriously our COVID plan, our COVID safety plan, offering more outdoor seating with good audio and visual. We're working on that at the moment. Better ventilation indoors. Social distancing, keeping in mind that some will be anxious to keep their personal space when we come back together. Mask wearing as required, and so on. We're also aware that some may stay away for a season. Certainly if there is an outbreak in our area, or perhaps even if we have a cold or a flu that we don't want to share around, we might be more careful to stay at home. This is how things will be when we are living with COVID, as they say. So what we, the parish council, want to do with the help of Mark and Mark Butler and the Butler Tech team that we have is to connect to the NBN now that it's available to us, do what we need to do in order to live stream our services as they happen. And I think that this will be an important way of helping everyone, especially our most vulnerable, especially those who feel like they need to stay away at certain times. In verse 19 of Romans 14, Paul says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." Let me read that again. It's a great verse in this context. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification, mutual building up of one another. As I've said, our world is dividing over these things, but we want to live at peace in the church, even if we have different views on these matters. We want to be other person-centered, doing what we can to build one another up in a climate where there is a lot of tearing one another down. I should say, if you have any thoughts, any ideas on how we can help, serve, love, encourage, things that we can do at church, not just on a Sunday, it might be outside of Sundays, but including Sundays, whatever it might be, something that will help particularly the vulnerable person or the more anxious person, the more concerned person about COVID, or the unvaccinated person who might feel a bit uncomfortable about kind of coming and mixing, whoever it might be, something that might help, that might put your mind at ease as we return, please let me know. Parish Council, including me, are still in the process of working this all out. So now is the time for your ideas. Now is the time for your feedback. So we'd appreciate that. How can we help one another? How can we love one another in this? How can we ensure that we are living at peace with one another and doing all that we can to be building one another up as the Church of God here in Terrey Hills? Now, that would be a great place to finish my sermon for today, but just briefly, I do have this third point about favoritism and the protection of the vulnerable. Just quickly, we know that James chapter 2 forbids favoritism, but that is more about showing favoritism towards the rich, probably because we think that we might be able to get something out of it. Showing particular concern for the vulnerable is not favoritism. It's an essential part of the Christian ethic. We want to care for the most vulnerable. For this reason, the diocese has already stated that in order to lead our children in the church to teach Sunday school or to go into the schools to teach scripture, double vaccination will be mandatory. And I would imagine that this will also be the case for Crusader day camps such as Summer Thrills that God willing will host and have a team of leaders in January 2022. Let me conclude with that verse from Romans 14, verse 19. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Amen.